My name is Mike Elgin, and this is my Food and Technology Podcast number 18. My guest this week is MightyX founder and CEO Daniel Yazbek. Here comes the FatCast. The label says it's organic, but can you really trust the label? Soon you'll be able to test the food you buy, the water you drink, and more with a handheld gadget from MightyX, a company founded by former Pfizer scientist Daniel Yazbek. Here's our conversation. You're the founder and CEO of a startup called MightyX. What does MightyX stand for, and what does your company do?
So MightyX stands for My Diagnostic. So DX is as common in the life science industry for diagnostics. So this is My Diagnostic. It's going to help me trust and verify the chemical composition of everything I eat, drink, and inhale. So it's going to look for pesticides in the food you eat with the organosensor that we use. It's going to look for chemicals in the water we drink, and it's going to be a pass or a fail based on the presence of pesticides as well as heavy metals in your water. The aerosensor will look for the quality of your air, the air quality index, and will look for chemicals in the air as well as temperature and humidity and some other parameters. So this is the three different applications that we're using with MightyX. For the general consumer, we also have a specialty application in the cannabis industry that will test for the safety and potency of cannabis samples in a newly regulated environment.
So just to be clear, the MightyX product exists. Do the others exist as well?
Yes, you can go on our website today, cdxlife.com, or just type MightyX on Google, and you'll go to our site. We now are currently selling the MightyX One Analyzer, which comes with the CannidyX sensor, so the cannabis application, and it comes with a smartphone app that connects. That's free. You can download that from the iOS or Android store, and that connects via Bluetooth to the MightyX unit. And depending on the application you are in within the app, you're going to use that application. So for CannidyX, you just push analyze. It connects via Bluetooth to your analyzer. You put a sample in the sample chamber, and within 3 minutes, you're going to have a breakdown of the chemical profile. So this is available. You know, we have close to 2,000 consumers in the field today that are using these devices every day for CannidyX. Now, the AquaDX will be the next sensor we roll out, which will test for the safety of your drinking water, and that's we're using the U.S. military standards to define, you know, what is safe and what is not. And the OrganiDX will follow shortly after that, and that will basically, we have a procedure where you leach the pesticides out of your spinach or dirty dozen fruits and vegetables, and then you apply that into our sensor, and within 6 minutes on that test, it will tell you whether this is safe based on the presence or absence of pesticides as well. So those are coming this year. In 2016, we will be rolling out the additional sensors for MightyX One, where you just buy an add-on sensor, and then you can use it. Otherwise, you can simply buy the MightyX 2 unit if you're not interested in the cannabis application, because the MightyX 2 unit will have only Organa, Aqua, and Aero, and it will be more affordable as well. So you can pre-order at least the AquaDX sensor right now on our website, or you can add your email and stay updated to know when the other ones are ready to purchase.
So how do you do the actual sensing? What is the technology behind MightyX and all the other products?
So CannidyX uses a electronic nose technology. It was developed by NASA and put on a space shuttle. It's basically a series of sensors that bind differently to different chemicals they're exposed to. They generate a signal. We measure that signal. We generate a pattern. And then we, using a reference database, we can match that pattern up with what's really in it based on some gold standard. Now, that's a handful, but basically we measure across sensors and we measure a signal and we interpret that signal and tell you what's in it based on what we know is in it based on what we've done in the past. So with the same sensor. So the new technology we're using for Organa and Aqua is different. AeroDX uses similar technology. It's just a there's chemicals that change when they bind to chemicals. We measure the signal and then we interpret that and then feed it to you with electronics and algorithms. So, but for Organa Aqua, we're using it's really more. We have we're using enzymatic technology that you have an enzyme in your body that reacts to chemicals like pesticides and heavy metals, and actually those kill that enzyme. So we're working with partners that have formulated that onto a sensor so that if there is a specific amount of pesticides present or heavy metals, it will kill that enzyme, and then the enzyme can't do what it's supposed to do, and we can measure that signal, measure that reaction. So that's why it's really a pass or fail measure. You can have a little bit of diazinon or malathion or glyphosate, different pesticides available on the market today, present, but in different concentrations. But really, what you want to know is, is there enough of these pesticides in here where it's toxic or below, of course, the human lethal consumption limit, or just is safe enough for military soldiers to drink in the field? Is it safe enough for me? So this is the technology we're using. It's been validated for the U.S. military. It's really award-winning technology by the military. So we've simply we're consumerizing it. And digitizing it with our technology so that people can test, they know where that test is, they can share that test on a global map that shows this area passed or failed. So we're going to make this very social for people to start testing and tracking.
You currently can test for Monsanto's glyphosate?
So we have diazinon and malathion. Monsanto's glyphosate is on our bench as we speak, and this sensor is supposed to, but my own internal testing is ongoing right now, so we can confirm that we can make sure we can measure glyphosate. But it is an organophosphate class of pesticides. So our sensors are very specific to the organophosphate and carbonate pesticides, and glyphosate falls in that category. But to give you the limit of detection of glyphosate, I haven't finished that, and that will come out with the specs as we roll them out.
So back to CannaDX now. My understanding is that in addition to checking the safety of cannabis, you can also check the nature of it. So, for example, there's a lot of variability in cannabis in its psychoactive effects. Some of them make you feel drowsy, some of them make you feel energetic, some make you feel more creative, and so on. And you can detect those kinds of things?
Yeah, so we have a database that's tested a bunch of cannabis strains and taken feelings associated with those. And so, yeah, based on the chemical profile, we now predict for you, you know, how this sample should make you feel. And of course, you will adjust it based on your own feelings because everybody's physiology is unique. So that's why it's MyDX, my diagnostic. There's a prediction from the crowd based on how the crowd has felt with this thing. Maybe you feel different. You know, some strains make me energetic, makes other people lazy, and it's very physiology dependent. So that's the point. MyDX allows you to adjust, save, and then you improve the algorithm. So we have a feature called My Algorithm, which means it starts tracking only my data, and it's like the it recommends things that look at, you know, leverage my own data versus the crowd's data. But we seed it with the crowd first, so you have something to start with.
That's really interesting, and I think that could have a an effect for consumers, because of course you can't like try it, you know.
And
you can match it against other things you've had. You're essentially giving numerical values theoretically and verifiable data to something that's kind of subjective, and you can see something like that being applied to other things that have a lot of variability, like wine, for example.
Exactly. I mean, we actually can check for pesticides in wine. People don't know that there's pesticides in wine. I mean, maybe they do, but basically, one of the things we have to do is educate people about these pesticides and these other chemicals. And I don't necessarily want to scare people, because that's not the tactic we like to take. But at the same time, people should understand that there are harmful chemicals out there that people put in everything we eat, drink, and inhale. And if we can, you know, afford to live a lifestyle where we can actually know what's in the food we eat or the water we drink and stay healthy, and we should all try to do that anyway. This is important. I think we'll live longer, and it's like maintenance, right? It's like maintaining your car. Make sure you change the oil, or make sure you put good synthetic oil so that it lasts longer. So I think it's important, and hopefully we can educate people about the importance and make these things as affordable as we can for people so everybody could have it.
I'd love to see you come out with a LactoDX product, because raw milk is a lot healthier than pasteurized milk, but it's like cannabis in the sense that it's semi-legal and it's largely unregulated. And as a result, you can't really tell people, oh, you should drink raw milk, because it all depends. You know, you have one bad farmer. One bad dairy farmer, and it's suddenly a very unhealthy product. If you could test raw milk, we wouldn't need pasteurized milk at all. We could all drink raw milk, test it, and if it's free of harmful bacteria and so on, we could just go ahead and drink it and enjoy the benefits of raw milk. I don't suppose you've ever considered doing a raw milk product, have you?
So that's interesting. I'm enjoying these applications, by the way. I haven't heard of that one, the raw milk one, because I know, you know, in China they're doing raw, you know, fake milk versus real milk.
Yeah.
And we've had requests to, can you help us determine the difference, or fake beer versus real beer? It's kind of crazy hearing all these things. But raw milk, I mean, look, if you're looking for certain bacteria, the tricky part about bacterial tests is we haven't been able to develop a fast test. We have a 48-hour bacterial test that we can automate for consumers so they can self-do it. But, you know, who's going to wait 48 hours and who has that type of patience, right? So, from a consumer perspective, I don't know how practical you can make the bacterial test for, and I have to look at the specific bacteria in milk that I'd be seeking, like was it E. coli or something else? I don't know. But we can definitely tell the difference between raw milk and pasteurized milk with our sensors. But can we detect the harmful bacteria? I think that's still, we're still a little bit away from that in terms to make a practical solution for consumers. But it is interesting to note. And this is the beauty, is once we can get the power of testing in the hands of consumers, this will, I think, change a lot of things, because I think people are just going to get this. The applications expand on their own. I mean, this is just one example, raw milk versus pasteurized milk. There's in super greens, I heard vitamins. I was doing a podcast the other day with someone who was mentioning about vitamins and greens, and they have certain chemicals in there that aren't good. And so it's a matter of education, knowing what chemicals to look for, and then programming our sensors to look for it. And that's really a process we continue to do as a business, and then we have to choose the applications and the resources and build it and deploy it. And we work with all our consumers and customers, you know, to support us to do that.
So I think that a lot of people might wonder why we need all these sensors. I mean, can't we trust our regulatory agencies to make sure that the food and water supply is safe? I mean, what would you say to somebody who told you that?
It's a good point. So our mission is to help people trust and verify. We actually registered that trademark. So it's a trust and it's not trust but verify, but we say trust and verify. So you should trust your agencies. You know, but in many cases, you need to verify, and I'll give you an example, water. So water could be tested at a specific site. By the time it gets to your house, maybe lead has seeped in some pipe in it somewhere, and you should check that. So even though the EPA says the water is good at this level, can it be good all the way to this point? And in some cases, can you trust the agencies? Look at Flint, Michigan. You know, they diverted the water supply from you know, Lake Huron, and they went to the Flint River, contaminated the water for a whole year, and that was all, you know, a political process of, and somebody benefited at some point. And then eventually they shifted back, but in the meantime, you know, sometimes, can you trust the governments? Most of the time, maybe, you know, but sometimes you want to make sure you can trust and verify. Or even Alabama right now, for the water.
Yeah, I was just going to, for those listening,
no, please go.
Trust but verify is something that was made, a phrase that was made famous by Ronald Reagan, who was quoting a Russian saying, I think, back in the 80s. So
that's exactly.
So you're changing that from trust but verify to trust and verify. That's very clever, and I like that a lot as a political you know, enthusiast. I want to ask you about one other thing about the public. You know, I'm thinking about resistance to this. One of them is the one that I mentioned, which is, you know, people tend to trust regulatory agencies. But there's also a psychological factor that I've noticed in the public when it comes to food, which is that they don't really want to know. I mean, people just want to, they want to believe the fantasy of the marketing. So they'll, you know, the typical scenario is they'll buy butter that has a photo on the, you know, a picture or drawing or painting or something on the packaging that shows this pastoral setting and this open fields and a red barn and all that stuff with the cows out there. And the reality is that their butter came from nightmare factory farm scenario. But people just want to believe the greenwashing. They want to believe the hype. They want to believe that the list of ingredients on the label is what's in there. And you know, a lot of, you know, they'll say natural flavor and people say, oh, that sounds great. You know, and they don't have any idea what that means and don't want to know. What would you say to somebody who basically clearly doesn't even want to know what's in their food?
It's a good point, because it's not for everybody. Most people don't want to know. And if they know, they have to do something about it. Either I have to pay more for the organic, or I have to go and buy a water filter, or I have to, you know, and we are lazy in nature. People are lazy, and they want to take the path of least resistance. And that is just trust. You don't have to verify what's on the label. And that's normal. I think people should. I mean, how we were created. Now, once people get to the point of understanding that what you put in your body impacts the rest of your life, and how you live, and how you feel every day, maybe they'll change their mind on their own. And hopefully, like I said, they'll be in a position where they can actually afford to live a healthy life. And most people can. I mean, you don't have to do a lot to be able to do that, or just take certain precautions and at least control what you're putting into your body. What you put into your mind is the other half of that, so you can live a balanced life. But right now we're focused on body with MyDX, and we'll talk about the mind piece later. But this is what I have to say is I think it's unfortunate, but it is the reality. And until you have a better option, you should trust what's on the label. But if you have a better option and you can afford it, then I highly recommend it.
How do you rate the competitive field? It's not exactly a competitive field, but for example, there's a product out there called the NEMA, which is a handheld scanner that can detect gluten in food. There's a product called Telspec, which is pretty expensive. It tells you about the calories and carbohydrates and so on. And there's another called the SCIO, which is a molecular sensor. It's not very well focused on food per se. It's just kind of like almost like a hobbyist thing, in my opinion. There are other products out there like that. I want to give you an opportunity to make the case, not just for your scanner versus ignorance, but your scanner versus other scanners. What's great about your scanner?
Sure. It's really about the application and making it meaningful to the customer. So again, we take the approach, we've got to keep it so simple for the consumer, yet relevant, right? So I want to be able to know whether this is, nobody out there is telling me in a digitized fashion the way we're doing it, is this safe to drink or not? Period. Now, I give you the breakdown of what I'm looking for in there, but is it safe enough to drink? I need to know that. That's what I need. I need to get to the fastest point. Now, for cannabis, nobody's out there doing what we're doing in a handheld portable chemical analyzer that can detect the chemical profile of your cannabis samples and associates them with feeling. There is no competition, all right? So for the Aqua DX, like we mentioned, you know, I don't see Sio or Telspec or anybody touching those markets. It's really market-driven. So even they're shining a light or a laser at food, which is Telspec and Sio, and then they're looking at the calorie content. And again, it's more of a hobbyist. And Sio, Telspec, you have to buy the products. We have a high-quality product. But I don't, you know, if you're interested in the calorie count, then buy the Sio. You know, and then, but what we're looking for is pesticides and heavy metals, harmful chemicals. Nobody's doing that in the market, as far as I'm concerned, you know, using a digital analyzer for consumers that tracks what they're testing and tracking. Same thing with food or in the water and the air quality index. None of those guys are looking at that. And so nobody's taking a holistic view about let's track everything we eat, drink, and inhale, so we get a holistic view of all these things versus just one element. I want people to know what they're breathing, what they're eating, and what they're drinking. And by looking at all of that, our algorithms, I'm hoping, can then really give them maybe a quality of life index that tells you, well, here's how you feel, or here's how you could feel maybe if you improve this. So imagine that. So, and that's this is a first for your viewers. Actually, this is a new concept now that we want to move towards. You know, you've inspired me on this question.
Wonderful. So just on the practical level, how much does your product cost? How much will your future products cost, and where can people buy them?
Yes, our multi-use analyzer today, which is a handheld analyzer, which is the size of about two iPhones stacked together, it's MyDX One, is $699, and it comes with the Canada DX application. If you want it with any of the other sensors, you can pre-order it for those, and it can accommodate all four sensors. So this is MyDX One, and it comes with 15 disposable sample inserts, a charger, and a box, and everything else. So you need to get going. That's the MyDX One. MyDX Two, which will focus only on Aqua DX, Organa DX, and Aero DX, that will come with, so that will be $349, and it will be a touchscreen. So it's not something where you connect via Bluetooth to your phone. You're going to have a touchscreen where you can just put in the sensors in a very simple way, and it doesn't have the cannabis application in it, and that's $349. And if you order on our website today, you get, I think, 30% off for pre-ordering for delivery before the end of the year. And that's it. Those are the two devices that we're focused on right now, and hopefully down the line in the future, I'd like to get this thing to under $200 and under $100 to consumers. But we started with the with our $699 flagship MyDX One. Now we're shifting to MyDX Two at the $349 price, and over time we look forward to bringing those prices down as well.
And the Canada DX app is on iOS and Android?
Correct.
Okay, so enough about the products. I just quickly want to know more about your background. You used to work at Pfizer, didn't you?
I did. I started my career at Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. I was a chemist for them, working with new ways to develop pharmaceutical drugs using enzymes and greener chemistry. And then I learned about analytics and chemicals and physiology at Pfizer. And then I went over to Panasonic, and I helped them get into the medical industry, into the healthcare diagnostics industry, using their existing electronic technology. So in a way, both of those companies, you know, really were the essence of what we made as in MyDX, you know, because I started learning about cannabis, you know, at the age of 30. I'm 38 now, and studying the plant and understanding the science. And it was just, I had to do something in terms of creating something that didn't exist, a chemical analyzer to help me find a strain that works for me, you know. So it created the device, and then I learned about pesticides in cannabis, and then I started learning about pesticides in the Dirty Dozen, and then I learned that pesticides are in our water stream because of the leakage from the farms, you know, from the feeding. And so then Organa and Aqua was born. And then AeroDX, and just the vision that is MyDX now, was born really out of a natural organic process, I think. So that's my background, and that's how we created MyDX. We're now a publicly traded company under ticker symbol MYDX. And we sell the Canna, and now we're coming out with the Organa, Aqua, and Aero. And you can pre-order those on our website.
And you had to launch a startup because neither Pfizer nor Panasonic would ever get into the marijuana racket in any shape or form, would they?
And they would not, definitely. And now the DEA just decided not to reschedule cannabis with that recent announcement, despite all the medical benefits of this plant. And it just brings, it brings me back to our mission of trust and verify, and why these things are the way they are. Cannabis is important for us because I believe we're on the right side of history here. This thing should not be illegal. This thing should be legal. There are arguments, scientific, political, economic, no matter how you slice it and dice it. But in a way, you know, my impression is they're trying to keep the industry growing at a healthy rate, and this move will help do that. And so I'm not against it. But the reason I focused on this industry first was politics and the understanding of something that should not be illegal and should be accessible to people, especially patients who need it. You know, that for me was a trigger point that said, I've got to do this, even before Sanjay Gupta went on CNN and taught everybody about the medical benefits of cannabis. So this is so I'm very passionate about the cannabis topic, and it really was the genesis for these others. And then learning about pesticides, you know, people deserve to know everything. So we're just here to educate and help them test, you know, when they can, everything around them.
Okay, one final question. I'm going to ask you to make a prediction. You're in San Diego. I'm in Santa Barbara, California. California has a ballot initiative come in November on the legalization of marijuana. It's a big deal because where California goes, the rest of the nation goes. Of course, marijuana is already legal in several states, but it is not legal in California. And so I want your prediction. Is the initiative to legalize marijuana going to pass in California, or is it going to fail this year?
You know, all polling and indications says it should pass. It will be interesting with this DEA announcement what will happen, but I think it will pass, you know, and California is the biggest market. It represents 50% of our market within the United States, and the United States represents 80% of our specific target customers for MyDX. So Canada actually is about 10% of our market, and you've got other places that are legalizing. But in California specifically, it is a very important, it represents 50%, I think, of the global market even. So, you know, my hope is it passes, but I think either way, it's such a thriving industry, whether it passes or not. I think people are going to continue to operate in this business. There is a legal framework where you can operate legally, and so you know, there's going to be some obstacles for the growth if it doesn't pass. Now, if it passes, it will be interesting, and maybe the next president will look at that scheduling again. But I think, you got to ask me that question, and let me. The DEA decision was just made, so I need to see how that fizzles out. But I think ask me again in a month. But I hope it passes, and I think it will pass. Let's leave it at that.
Okay, wonderful, Daniel. I want to thank you so much for coming on the FATcast, and I wish you and your company a whole lot of success in the future. And hopefully, we can connect again next year, do another interview after. After the ballot initiative in California passes, hopefully, and then we'll take it from there and see how you're doing.
Sounds very good. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
I'd love to hear from you. Email your ideas and feedback to mike@elgin.com. Thanks for listening to my food and technology podcast, and don't forget to share it with your friends. My name is Mike Elgin. There goes the FATcast.